A new church had just been opened a short distance away from the temple of Lord Sesiri, on the same street. Pastor Godson Aidu had a fair knowledge of high witchcraft from his roots and soon began to trouble Jansi and his bunch. He organized a vigil every Friday night. The vigil usually lasted till about 3 in the morning. It was full of prayers against occult activities. Jansi discovered that during such nights and for the next 2 or 3 nights, he could not communicate with the nether realm. His meetings were frustrated and he started losing disciples. When he could not bear it any longer, he went to Sri Veruka. "My lord, I don't understand what is happening," he complained as he sat beside Sri Veruka in Lord Sesiri's court. Sesiri himself was not visible.
There are things you cannot understand now.
"Sri Veruka, why don't you let me kill these criminals?"
Everything has its time, son.
"My time is running out, Sri Veruka. I must do something now or else Lord Sesiri's temple will no longer operate on earth. Our numbers are declining. Our operations are being hindered.
Jansi!"
"My lord,
approach the throne.
As Jansi approached the throne, Sesiri appeared, darker than darkness, robed in black, eyes glowing bright red. For the first time since Jansi knew him, Lord Sesiri laid his right hand on Jansi. Jansi felt power and wickedness surging through his entire soul. Sesiri chanted and simultaneously, several high spirits appeared in his court, spirits that Jansi had never seen before.
Jansi, Lord of Spirits of the Nether Realm.
Jansi, fire that fills Sesiri's altar. Jansi, excelling in power above his foes. Jansi, let no mortal stand up before thee. The spirits that had appeared sang strange songs in strange languages while Lord Sesiri rattled endlessly. Finally, Lord Sesiri forced open a groove in Jansi's right forearm. Blood gushed out. The blood flowed upwards on Sesiri's forefinger, all the way up his arm, onto his shoulders, his neck and cheek, and then into his mouth. Jansi watched him as he gulped his blood until he finally passed out. When he recovered, he was lying down on the snake skin carpet of his sanctum, and his wound had been healed. He has just undergone his third initiation. A few weeks later, another vigil was to hold at Liberty Assembly. As was regular of him, Pastor Aidu got to church quite early, at about 8 p.m. The vigil was to start by 10 p.m, but he always prayed with his associate pastors for about an hour before such programs, and he also had his personal prayers. The young small-statured pastor sat down in the church hall and began to study his Bible under the bright light of a fluorescent tube. The place was not much of a hall. It was a prefabricated structure with benches neatly set up. There was a wooden lectern in front of the set of benches. A few write-ups were placed on the walls. The entire building was on a plot of land, fenced all around, except for the entrance, which had a 6'5" gate. Pastor Aidu looked at his watch. It was 9:10 p.m. and he was still alone. He was quite perturbed. His fellow pastors were never late. He stood up and began to pray in a language he had never learnt. He prayed quite loudly until about 9:40 p.m. when his subordinates arrived. Drenched, it had begun to rain while Pastor Aidu was praying. "Oh my God! The devil is a liar! Brethren, the devil is a liar! We are not unaware of his devices. No, we are not. He is a defeated foe. Let us make war against every satanic opposition to this night's program. Pray, pray." Pastor Benga, Fadipe, and Badmus Kuti were like Pastor Aidu in their 30s. Three of them were informed with respect to the occult and its operations. They had a mission to bring deliverance to the oppressed and possessed, and Pastor Aidu was considered head pastor. The trio prayed for about 15 minutes and the rain subsided. A middle-aged woman then walked into the church structure and joined in the prayers. She was sleek and was dressed in a brown striped gown with a thin belt at her lower abdomen. The upper part of the dress clung to her bust and belly, and the lower part flowed, having pleats down to her shin. Her hair was well covered and she wore absolutely no jewelry. None of the pastors had known her before that night.
Robo, robo, robo.
The newcomer began to rattle. Rabba, 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 rabba. She went on and on.
Robo, robo, robo.
My children, she commenced in the conventional means of prophesying in Pentecostal circles. Hear my words. Listen to your father. Tonight is a night of praise. Sing to the Lord a new song. You have prayed enough. Forget about the devil and just praise my name. This is what the Most High says.
Amen, 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 echoed the pastors.
Sister, called Pastor Aidu.
Yes, sir, she answered with a broad smile.
Who are you?
My name is Sister Celestina Inquiry. I live on the street. I have been hearing about your vigils for some weeks now, and tonight, God just touched me to join you.
She spoke very fluently and without hesitating.
Pastor Aidu glanced at his fellow pastors. They recognized that look on his face. He certainly did not trust this woman.
Sister, began Pastor Aidu again, are you sure that the Lord Jesus spoke to you?
Of course.
She did not even let him finish the question.
God has been speaking through me for up to 5 years consistently. I received my gift in a dream. I saw an angel of God who told me that God said I would become his voice to my generation.
Woman!
Pastor Aidu interrupted, raising his voice. He had seen through the woman. The Bible says my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations and pray without season. Your prophecy is neither consistent with the vision of this ministry nor with scripture. There was a sudden silence. One could hear the crickets chirping. Then Sister Inquiry spoke up again.
You people don't even know what you are doing. You think you have power. You will see power.
With that, she left. The two younger pastors were somewhat at a loss, but Pastor Aidu explained to them that the woman was an agent of darkness. That night's vigil turned out successful after all.
You failed,
Jansi roared at the middle-aged witch as soon as she returned to his temple.
I am sorry, my lord. Have mercy,
she pleaded.
You failed me. You failed Sri Veruka. You failed Lord Sasiri and the witches of Tartaros. You failed Chitanam, the Most High. Give me one reason why I should not cut off your head.
Have mercy, Lord.
The woman begged, panting helplessly on her knees.
I will give Lord Sasiri my younger sister. She has an innocent child in her womb, my lord. I promise to give her to you.
Do that quickly, concluded Jansi.
Jansi and his disciples eventually had to move away from Okoko Maiko entirely. The atmosphere was getting more and more unfavorable. They could not bear the power that emanated from Pastor Aidu's church. After several encounters, they moved to Igando, some 3 kilometers northeast of Okoko Maiko. Following this relocation, Liberty Assembly had no idea what it was that had changed about the church, but it was obvious something had changed. This time around, they purchased a bungalow having an underground apartment. Jansi lived in the main floor and received visitors there, while the underground floor served as the temple and private sanctum. There was nothing unusual about the building from the outside. It was located on a popular street among other residential buildings, but a conspicuous signpost in front read, "The Mystic Temple of Lord Sasiri. Power, wealth, success, health, and all your desires can now be yours. Contact us now."